Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I draw your attention this morning to the verse 32, where we read these words: "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." It is especially the opening words of the verse: "He shall be great. He shall be great." The angel Gabriel here makes his second visit in 6 months. The first was to Jerusalem and to the temple. He came to Zacharias of the house of Aaron, appearing to the old priest at the incense altar. But now he comes to a humble abode in an obscure town called Nazareth. And this time he appears to a young maiden, a chaste lady by the name of Mary. And though she is poor and lowly, she is of the house of David. Both visits by this angel are accompanied with prophecy and with the mighty power of God. The power of the Highest is attending with Gabriel. To Zacharias, he announces that in their old age, he and his wife Elizabeth shall have a son, who is to be called John. He is to go before and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. The Lord. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. He shall go before him, that is, before the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And to Mary, Gabriel announces that she also shall have a son, conceived solely by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is to be called Jesus, the angel says. He is the coming Lord. He is the one that the forerunner John is to go before and to prepare the people for. So, in these angelic annunciations, there's a link. There's a link between the forerunner coming and the link with the Lord who is coming after him, and the forerunner is preparing the way for that Lord. In these angelic communications, Gabriel says the same thing twice. In verse 15, he says concerning John the Baptist, the forerunner, "He shall be great." And then he says to Mary concerning Jesus in verse 32, our text, he also says, "He shall be great." So here are two great persons, the forerunner and the Lord. Both children are to be great. And indeed it proved true, because the forerunner was great and Jesus was great. But there is a difference. While it appears that the words are the same, "He shall be great," and "Jesus, he shall be great," both are not great to the same extent. That's the thing. There's a difference. Even in the text, the difference is noticeable. You'll notice in verse 15, when he says concerning the forerunner, he says, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." But in verse 32, it is different. It just says, he shall be great. Full stop. Pause. There's a difference. The difference is Jesus' greatness is unqualified. He shall be great. But John's greatness is qualified. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And there's a difference, and it's noticeable. The difference is Jesus has an unqualified greatness. This is because he is the Lord. And as he looks on John, in his sight, John is great. So there's a difference. And that's what the angel means. He qualifies this statement. Obviously, the Lord is the greatest of them all. You remember whenever Mary came into the house of Elizabeth and Elizabeth said, whence is this to be that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? He's the Lord. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the Lord obviously is the greater of the two. But in that Lord's sight, John is great indeed. And John was great indeed in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus referred to this on occasions. He says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was great in the sight of the Lord indeed. And the Lord testified to that. But John, he himself acknowledged who was the greatest. You remember whenever all the people were coming to him and he was in his public ministry as the baptizer. And people were musing in their hearts and they were wondering, is he the Christ? Could he be the Messiah? Well, John put them all right whenever he heard those things going on amongst them. He says, I just baptize you with water. He says, there's one coming after me who's greater than me. He's mightier than me. He's coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend down and tie his laces. He's greater than me. And he'll not baptize you merely with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So John the forerunner is saying, he's the greater. The Lord Jesus himself testified of this. He said, you remember the Queen of Sheba? She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And so he shall be great. But not only great, greater. Greater than John. Greater than Solomon. Greater. You know, whenever the Lord walked on earth, that was the question that people had about him. How great was he? How great is he? How great is he to be? This was a question. They knew he was great. In a sense, everybody knew he was great. He was great in words. They found that out quickly enough. Never man spake like this word. He teaches the people as having authority. He doesn't teach them as the scribes. He's greater than the scribes. He can speak better than the scribes. He has more power in speech than the scribes. They knew he was great in speech. They knew he was great in miracles. He was mighty in word and in deed. And all acknowledged he was a great one in Israel. But the degree of greatness was often questioned among them. You remember the woman at the well? Whenever she first met him, she began to realize he was a great person. And she was trying to assess this greatness and how great he was. And she said, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well. He did so much for us. His children are still drinking from it generations later. Are you greater than him? Yes. I'll tell you about a well that I've opened. And that I have for men, greater than Jacob. And then you remember how the Jews, they, they came to him and said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham? He's dead. The prophets are dead. Are you greater than them?" Before Abraham was, "I am greater than Abraham." And so he's not just great, he's greater than all the kings of the earth. He shall be greater. He's a greater than David was. He's a great king. Remember, David worshipped him. David is probably the greatest king in the Bible. But David worshipped Jesus. "The Lord said unto my Lord," his son Jesus is his Lord. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." David's not ascended into the heavens. He himself has said, "The Lord said unto my Lord." David isn't there in the glory. It's Jesus. He's greater than David. This is what the angel is telling us. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's in a place where no king sit. He's in a place where no king has ever sat as high. Any of the kings of the earth, he's greater than all the kings of the earth, for he sits at the right hand of God. What Gabriel said is true. He's the greatest king. He's gone into the heaven and is on the right hand of God, not only men under his footstool, but angels and principalities and authorities and powers are all made subject unto him, for he shall be great. Read about it in Psalm 2. He's such a great king as the Father has spoken to him something that he never spoke to another king. "Ask of me. I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You'll break them all with a rod of iron. You'll dash all your enemies in pieces." He's a great king. It's true. "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall come and serve him." And he himself says, the King of glory, Jesus Christ, says, "By me earthly kings reign, and by me princes decree justice on the earth." He's the greatest king. Gabriel's right. It's true what he says. And then he's greater than all the prophets. God at sundry times and in different ways, in different periods over the generations, he spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but none of them are like his son. For he's spoken unto us in these last days by his son, whom he has made the heir of all things, and by whom he even made all the worlds. He's greater than any prophet. Greater than all the prophets added together. He's greater than the greatest prophet, Moses. And perhaps Elijah, as a great prophet as well. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, the two great prophets were there, Moses and Elijah. And they were standing talking with Jesus. And the disciples woke up and they saw this great sight. And they wanted to enjoy it longer. And they said, "Can we not build tents? And Moses and Elijah, the great prophets, will stay with us." And the Father's glory appeared. And there was a voice from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. He's a greater prophet. He's the greatest prophet. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Elijah. Why do you want tents for dead prophets when you can have the living, eternal Son of God ministering to your soul through his word? Hear him." Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, the Bible says. But Christ is a son over his own house. You see, Moses was just appointed. He was put into the house of God to be the teacher and the preacher and the prophet in the house of God. It wasn't his house. He was just put in it. But Christ, he's the son over his own house. And he's the greater prophet. He shall be great. It's true. He's the Word himself who was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the apostle said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was saturated with truth. And he goes on to say, Moses gave the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than all the priests, as well as all the kings and all the prophets. He's greater than all the priests, for we have a great high priest, and he's passed not into an earthly tabernacle, and he's not gone through material curtains, but he's gone into eternity. He's gone into the very presence of God. That's how great our priest is. He's gone up into the heavenly Zion, and he's sat down on the right hand of God, and all his prayers are heard. And we have a great high priest, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and we can go boldly to the throne of grace. That's how great he is. Gabriel's right. It's true. He shall be great. He's greater than all the angels, even. If we leave humanity, if we leave the great spiritual offices among men and ascend among the holy orders of the invisible angelic beings, we see that he's greater than the angels. For unto which of the angels did God at any time say, thou art my son, sit thou at my right hand, till I make all your enemies your footstool? And to which of the angels was it said to them that they were God? And to which of the angels was it said to them that their throne, for they have no throne, but this Jesus has a throne, and his throne is forever and ever, and his scepter is an everlasting scepter of righteousness, greater than all the powers of heaven. The angels, right? Gabriel knew it. Gabriel was great himself, one of the highest order of the angels, but he comes down and he says, I'll tell you someone who's great. Jesus, he shall be great. He's greater than the very temple. The very temple itself. The very sanctuary of God. He's even greater than that. He says, I tell you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. Now, if anybody else said that, they'd be talking about the Shekinah glory in the presence. But Jesus is talking about himself. He shall be great. Not only great, not only greater, but greatest. The greatest of all. You remember it said concerning Job, by the Holy Spirit, that there was none. He was the greatest of all the men of the East. Greatest, but only of all the men of the East. But Jesus is the greatest of all. The greatest not only in the East, but the greatest in the earth, and the greatest in heaven too. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow. He's the greatest. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world that is to come, he's the greatest. He is the Lord, our Lord, whose name is excellent in all the earth, who has set his glory above the heavens. He's the greatest of all. You know, sometimes we as God's people are so foolish and so fickle and so silly, not to say so sinful. And even the apostles were thus minded. They had infirmities of mind and of thinking in the presence of their great Lord. And one time they entered into a foolish debate. One time they asked a rather thoughtless question, and there was a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. How foolish those disciples were. Who should be accounted the greatest? And they even came to the Lord and they said, "Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Imagine having to ask the Savior such a question. We all know who is the greatest. There are none of us great. We're just all poor and lowly. He's the greatest. It's not open for debate. It's not a matter of inquiry. What kind of mind is that among us who are going to think, "Oh, well, you know, who's going to be the best? Who's going to be the highest? Who's going to be the chiefest among us?" Now, that's not the way to think. This is the way to think. He's the greatest. He shall be great. He alone. Christ is great. Christ is greater. Christ is greatest of all. And so these words are so true. Have been fulfilled, are being fulfilled, and shall yet be fulfilled of his greatness. There shall be no end and no measure. In practice, what does this mean to you and to me? This isn't just some old theological proposition. Jesus is the greatest. Some cold statement of truth amongst us? No, this is a truth pregnant with practicalities for your walk with God, for your devotion to Jesus Christ, for your comfort, for your encouragement in your trials. This is a truth rich with meaning and rich with spiritual application. Our Savior is great, greater, and the greatest. What does that mean? Jesus is great. It means you can trust him. It means you can believe in him. It means you can depend upon him, for he's great. It means that you can anchor your soul in him with all your heart and with all your might. It means that if you believe on him, you'll not be ashamed. You'll never be confounded. You'll never be disappointed. For he's great. He can never let you down. And blessed is the man that trusteth in him and whose hope is in the Lord. It'll never be a disappointed hope, for he's great. And you can believe in him for the everlasting good of your eternal soul. It means his death was a great death. It means his blood has great merit. For he is great,
and his blood must be great. It means his blood can wash the vilest, for he is great. It means that sacrifice on the cross must have eternal and everlasting efficacy because he's great. It wasn't like one of the thieves that died. It wasn't merely a good man that died. It was the great one who died. That means his pardon is a great pardon. And it'll reach the vilest who truly believe in him. It means that he can deal with great sin and wash away great transgressions. For the great one has died and made atonement. And it means his mercy is great, for he is great. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, great mercy, and plenteous redemption. You can trust him. You can believe in him. You can come to him, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. For he's great in grace. He's rich in mercy. He's able to open up the eyes of your understanding. He's able to make you see. He's able to cause you to have the assurance of the hope of your calling. Because he's great. He's mighty to save. He's able to save to the uttermost. Everyone who comes to God by him, that's how great he is. He's a great king, able to conquer and subdue all our enemies. He's a great prophet who is able to illuminate the great darkness of our hearts. He's a great priest who's able to reconcile us great sinners unto a most holy God. He is great. It means he can restore great backsliders. And those who have grown cold in their hearts. And those who have forgotten and turned away and despised in their folly. His great love. Who have gotten away from the chief shepherd. And yet he is so great as to go after them. And he restoreth my soul. Even me, even my soul, who hath gone astray like a lost sheep. That's how great he is. He is great. Great mercy. Great long suffering. Great is thy mercy toward me, the psalmist says. Remember how it says in the Acts of the Apostles, how that the apostles were given great power to witness to Christ and to preach the gospel and to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ's death and his resurrection. Great power was given unto them from this great one, but it also says, and great grace was upon them all as the gospel was preached. And sinners were converted. The apostles had the power, but the grace was on the whole assembly of the sinners. Because Jesus' grace is like himself. It's great. It means his intercession is great. This great one is in heaven, ever living to make intercession for his people. It means he can supply great needs. And meet the great wants of our soul and of our life and of our humanity. Seeing that we have a great one who's passed into the heavens, we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. We can find grace to help in time of need, for he's a great one there. He can supply your great need. What's your great need this morning? What's your great distress? What's your great burden? What's the great heaviness upon your heart? He is great to meet it. He shall be great. What does Paul say? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Gabriel's right. He spoke the truth. Psalm 23 and all of that. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord will give grace and glory. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Because he's great. And one day we shall see his greatness as never before. He is infinitely great in himself, but in our perception it's growing. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of that Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we begin to have greater perceptions of his greatness. And it'll grow and grow until that great last day, whenever we all as the people of God shall be gathered around his heavenly throne. And then we'll see how true it is. And these words will come back to our mind as all the saints are gathered in from the north and the south and the east and the west. And they all come down to sit together with Father Abraham and all the spiritual fathers of the church around the feet of Jesus Christ. And then this angelic word will come back to our mind. He shall be great. And we'll see it. And we'll know how true it is. And such a hallelujah shall be raised in that day. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's great indeed. And every eye shall see it. See that he is supreme. See that he is sovereign. See that he is sitting, ruling, reigning. The whole cosmos at his footstool. Unopposed, all his enemies put down, every mouth stopped, and all the world silent before him, only broken by the endless hallelujahs and this word of Gabriel. He shall be great. It's true. Let me ask this in closing. Is he great to you? Is the Lord Jesus great to you? Make him your greatness. Make him the greater one in your life. Yeah, make him the greatest one in your life, greater than all. And there are many you love dearly, and you hold chiefly and supremely to your bosom. But he's the greatest of all. And you should love him greatly. You should love him with all your heart and with all your might and with all your soul. You should trust him greatly. And you should serve him greatly. You yourself should be great in humility at his feet. For he must increase. And we must decrease. And he shall be great. Let us pray.